And the final answer was the first star, Al Brother.
Well, I have to believe it's a bit of a bittersweet afternoon for Al's brother for a couple of different reasons. One, on the positive side, picking winners all weekend, 2-for-1 in his picks. I was 0-for-2. But Al's brother, Kiper Jr., has been owning the college scouting game for quite some time, and Mike Mayock may be back in the business in mowing your lawn, Al's brother. Are you concerned that Mayock may end up back at NFL Network and your analysis online will be pushed to the side, or what do you
make? You know what? It Mayock, to me, like, that guy's the GOAT. Like, there was nothing better than watching Mike Mayock break down tape. I loved watching the NFL Network's coverage of the draft every year and just listening to him and Daniel Jeremiah just sit there and break it all down. A lot of what I learn is, like, from those guys and the way that they watch tape, and it's that allowed me to learn. So, heck no. I mean, I love Mayock, and it's unfortunate.
Dude, are you
didn't turn
like
out,
you're
but
like on the same level as them or something? Or like, what the hell are you talking
about? No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, Mayock is a guy who I look up to in terms of being like a scout. You know, like, that's someone who did it for a living and got to be, you know, a general manager in the NFL. I mean, being a pro sports GM is one of those glamour jobs that almost every single kid has at one point. Did either of you two never grow up and say, I want to be a GM of an NHL team?
I actually thought I was going to play. I was like, I'm going to be a player in the NHL.
Yeah, I was thinking player first. That was my hope. But I hear what you're saying, Al's brother. I think as you get, it becomes more glamorous as you get older because you don't have to like physically be in shape.
I disagree, Hayes.
Yeah, see, that's
I think
why
it gets less glamorous right. Because you see the amount of people that, like this character you're talking about, get fired.
Yeah, but the money that comes with it, the prestige, the idea of playing, like, Al's brother and I are of the video game generation, where I'm sure Al's brother, how many times have you played franchise mode on Madden where you're drafting,
for hours.
Yeah, and you're drafting offensive linemen. Like, it's ridiculous, and I used to do it when I was in school all the time. I loved it. But that's what makes you think, okay, that's what I want to do. I love the draft, make trades. So, yeah, there's a downside because you get hired to get fired. But just being in the dance, getting to do it, making a bunch of money. And once you're in the fraternity, I mean, that's become clear in sports. Once you're in,
you're in
capacity. Our boy John Ferguson Jr. is still kicking around. Like, he got punted out of Toronto, 13 years ago?
Oh,
15
yeah.
years ago. And he's still in the game. So that's a big part of it. It's like a lifelong pass once you get to the top and be a GM, regardless of how bad it goes. Because Mayock missed on a lot of those first rounders, Al's brother. Like,
he did.
He picked some awful players, like guys that he should not have been taking.
Him.
It's actually astonishing. We look at the past drafts and like how they were able to somehow make a playoff team out of this roster. It is somewhat astonishing. I mean, they drafted this kid, Cleveland Ferrell, out of. He was out of Clemson a couple of years ago with like the fourth pick. And it was just one of those picks where everybody was just scratching their head. Like, really? Like this guy?
Reach.
He was supposed to go a little bit later, right? And then they pick him. He's like, yeah, he comes from a winning franchise. You know, it's a good school. He'll bring that winning pedigree here. Pretty sure the guy was sitting up in the press box as a healthy scratch, like not during the game
quickly.
On the weekend. You know what I mean? So
he
hasn't been, funny enough, he's touted as a prospect and a draft guy, but his own drafts have not actually gone too well.
No,
I would pay
right
a
now.
Guy, if I was running an organization like NHL, NFL, any league, I would pay the guy that if he could prove a couple years in a row that he gets the right guy. I guess it would probably take 2, 3, 4 years of him continually getting the right guy. And is in the hockey side of it, if he could, like a goaltender guru, go and pick them. Like, I would pay that guy zillions. He would be the highest paid guy on my staff.
That's the scout down in Tampa with the Lightning. I can't remember his name.
Al McNeil.
Al McNeil is famous for it. Like,
yes.
All he does is find superstar players anywhere in the draft.
He just gets the guy that hits Hayes. It's not like he necessarily will find a Pavel Datsyuk in the sixth round, but the guy that he selects is the right guy.
Right.
Well, I'm pretty sure
to me that's worth millions, man.
It is. It
changes like both everything. Point and Sorelli are both third round picks, are they not?
Yep.
Like they just find guys littered throughout the draft and they just come up big. I mean, Palat was like a seventh round pick but he's averaging like a point per game down in Tampa right now.
But even role guys, they got like that Joseph and the kid that scored the game winning goal in the Stanley
Cup,
Ross Colton. It's just like Why aren't other teams getting that guy? And Carolina is kind of in a similar boat. It seems like they call up a young guy all the time, and immediately the guy's really good.
Yeah.
Scores goals, like contributes. It's like, God, I would pay out the ass for somebody to scout that and bring me that.
It's a well-oiled machine, and with the salary cap being what it is in both leagues, the NHL and the NFL, once you start to really pay the high-end guys, it's even more imperative that you find that young talent, the next wave. And I mean, Tampa's a perfect example of that, where they're paying Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hedman, Stamkos, Point. They got five guys making a good chunk of money. McDonough's making a good chunk of money, right? Like, these guys, Chernak's going to get paid. Sergachev's going to get paid. You better find your third pairing on the cheap. You better find two or three lines at the bottom end of your lineup on the cheap. And it can't just be the 38-year-old who shows up all the time. Like, Corey Perry's doing it, but you got to have the 20-year-old for free. You got to have that kid, too. And the Leafs are facing it. They're going to face it. You know, the Leafs have done a very good job of finding guys in Europe that have come over as free agents. And I think clearly this past offseason in the free agency pool, the Leafs did a really good job.
I don't think Hazy can give him too many props on the Europe stuff. It seems like the guy comes in and plays seven games and then is either gone back to Europe or traded. I don't know.
Well, Mikheyev's one example.
Mikheyev, yeah.
Yeah, you're, I mean, listen, Zaitsev's still in the league, and that contract is absolutely atrocious. But
you guys see Barabanov? Barabanov's doing over in San Jose. Guy's got like 20, 22 points on the year.
Never got
a chance. Playing really with a guy that scored five goals today. I was just watching a little bit of it. He was on the six-goal watch. Timo Meier had five goals today for San Jose.
Yeah.
Five.
In the first two periods, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
a whole period to try to tie Sittler for six. That's outrageous.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's wild. But what about these NFL games? I mean, I feel like I'm being harmed here tonight because I had to make the Monday night pick on a Friday, and the line has moved. It was Rams minus four on Friday. Now it's Rams minus three. There's clearly money coming in on Arizona, and I will admit I'm not seeing this game very well. I'm not seeing the board that well. I just don't like Matt Stafford. I don't trust Matt Stafford, but I also don't trust Cliff Kingsbury to realize that he's playing late in the season and he's actually supposed to win, because his stats would indicate this guy, 75% of the season, he loves it. The last 25%, he's an absolute disaster. And Kyler Murray on the road, albeit not a crazy atmosphere at SoFi tonight. You know the Rams aren't going to represent. The fans aren't going to show up. But I don't know what to make of this game tonight, Els Brother.
It's almost like what's that line that Pat Quinn always says? It's a loser's race. It's almost what it is, right? Cliffy Kingsbury and Matty Stafford, two guys who typically just can't get it done when the bright lights are on you. Like, I was taking a look a little bit deeper into the numbers just to see how I'm shaking here backing the Cardinals. And Matthew Stafford really struggles against winning teams. In his career, he is just 31% win rate against teams with a winning record. He's only won 26 games against teams who have a winning record. That is not very good. That means that this dude just can't get it done against good teams. He's beaten down some poor teams, and that's not really what the Cardinals are. They're a good squad. And the Cards this season, you look at them as a dog, 6-0 against the spread as a dog this year, 8-1 on the road.
I
like that, man. The Cards, no wonder the money's starting to pour here. And then you look at them, they're getting J.J. Watt back. Remember a couple of years ago when J.J. Watt came back to Houston, and he didn't play too much because he had just gone back. I think it was, a torn pec or a torn shoulder or something like that. But he made one really big time play against Buffalo that turned around the entire game, and that's all they need out of J.J. Watt. Go out, you know, it's third down, pin your ears back, and rush the quarterback, whether you get a sack, a big sack, or you can try and force Matt Stafford to throw a pick, which he's been quite prone to do lately. He's got, nine turnovers in his last four games? I think that can have a massive, massive impact in tonight's game. That Arizona pass rush, I think, is going to come through big.
Yeah, I mean, I would counter with the Rams, clearly, but Murray is so mobile. You know, I'm curious to see what Aaron Donald can bring tonight. And, you know, can you penetrate Von Miller? I think Ramsey on Hopkins, clearly, but I've been reading also that the Rams are going to play a lot of zone, you know, so we'll see where Hopkins lines up. Like, he may move around the field a little bit, and I don't know how that's going to factor in.
He's done. He's out for the year. They don't even have.
Right.
And that might make you feel better. That's the thing. They don't have the greatest weapons. I mean, AJ Green's there. They've got this other kid who's kind of popped up. His name's escaping me right now, but he's kind of factored in the last couple of weeks. Rondale Moore is a second round pick that they picked up. He's a bit of a gadget type play. But really, I think the X factor is going to be Kyler Murray. Like, this guy's going to have to make plays. He's going to have to foot the ball in the pockets. He's going to have to escape the pocket and probably going to have to, you know, get a bit of a run game going himself. I think Kyler Murray is going to be the biggest X factor in this game to me.
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks ultimately. Yeah. I mean, we saw that over the course of the weekend. Like, that's, we had Herm Edwards on a couple hours ago, and he's like, it's about the quarterbacks. That's the lead now. If you get the performance, you're going to have a chance to win. And if you don't, then really you have no shot. Unless you just overwhelm the turnovers and overwhelm, you know, the run game. And that's what Pittsburgh was trying to do last night. They get that fumble six by T.J. Watt, and they're trying to hold on to Kansas City. And eventually it got to a point where it got away from them, and Pittsburgh just had nothing. You know, they just had nothing. Philly, the same thing. Like, Philly's, it's got to be a low-scoring game. It's got to be probably a one-possession game where your defense shows up, you move the chains. And I don't expect that to be the case tonight, though. I expect to see some fireworks. I think it'll be a fun game, and I'm on the Rams, and there's not much more I can do about it. I'm on the Rams, laying four.
So. Al's brother, kind of, how are you feeling? What are you breaking down? Like, do you have a stroke of genius with a pick or a hazy misstep or just a little bit of a reflection on what happened yesterday and the day before and where we're at right now?
You mean from this past weekend that we saw go
just
down?
Like, you know, some things you did, selections you made, hazy B, taking advantage of them, just an overall reflection of where we're at.
Well, if you want to start with me, I think obviously back in the Pats was not the best idea. But
Hazy will go to the grave saying that was ridiculous.
That's the only thing I have going for me right now.
It was ridiculous. And tell you what, I'll take this away from you, Hazy B. Should we tell him? Should we tell him, Mo?
Go ahead.
We took the Pats to ensure a Bills victory. We faded the Bills to ensure that they won the game. If you're asking me, I think Bills Mafia owes me an apology, or I think Bills Mafia, I should be a hero to Bills Mafia for taking the bullet and fading the Bills just to make sure that they won that football game on Saturday. And boy, did they win that football game on Saturday.
I think that's very charitable of you, brother. I mean, that's your region, right? You're in that Buffalo, Niagara region. You need to be a man of the people down there. You don't need them throwing you through tables by cursing them. So I like the way you're thinking, and if that's the truth, then you are seeing the board at an absolutely epic level right now. And that was one hell of a performance that I enjoyed thoroughly. Like, I wouldn't compare it to the Bucks-Eagles game or the Chiefs-Steelers game because of the nature of the matchup, because of the elements, because it was against Belichick, where Belichick looks miserable if he's on the verge of winning a Super Bowl. He was miserable. He looked miserable. You knew he was miserable. He was so disappointed in his team. He called them out the next morning saying, we just had no compete, and you could see it.
Yeah.
Like, they had nothing going on either side of the ball. But for the Bills to put forth a performance where no punt, no field goal, no turnover, and perfect on fourth down, I don't think it's ever happened in playoff history. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you see in, like, Division III football where, you know, like Alabama's playing Eastern Louisiana State.
Right.
It's just it was such an ass kicking that it became that much more entertaining that you wanted to see Trubisky come out. The fans were so into it. It was so cool. You see Ryan Fitzpatrick in the stands with no shirt on too.
Oh yeah.
Which is just such a great
cold
shot. Yeah, it was crazy.
What the hell was he doing there?
Just being a fan.
Hey, Fitz magic.
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean, he spent some time there clearly, and he's still in the league. He's still kicking around, but he just decided to get up there. Someone must have asked him, like, will you take your shirt off for a pick? And he's like, done. And that's legendary status in Buffalo and Western New York. But I think that game next week, I mean, it's all about Kansas City-Buffalo, right? Like, that's clearly the go-to. And we'll see what the grappler has in store. I guess he's going to go back to the hat, and he's going to pull names. And
we got to get a shake this time, though, right?
The Shakegate, I was so mad on Saturday with Shakegate and Whistlegate. Shakegate and Whistlegate jammed me up badly with that Bengals game. Because that should have been blown dead. The whistle blew. I still can't understand how the Raiders didn't go postal and find the ref that blew the whistle and didn't get some sort of an explanation. They just let it go. They just accepted defeat.
Well, it was crazy. it was so bizarre because I'm sitting, I did recall hearing the whistle live and I didn't think anything of it. And then they bring in, I think it was Gene Steratore, and he's like, yeah, actually that play should have been blown dead and that shouldn't have counted.
10 minutes later.
What? Yeah. It's like nobody noticed at the time. It wasn't until like multiple replays later. And yeah, like 5-10 minutes later, they bring this up and it's like, oh, that is a big mess up. It wasn't until the league came out and the league sent out a memo and then they brought it up on the broadcast.
Right. It was like Drew Brees and Tirico wanted nothing to do with that controversy. They were dancing from that. And how about Troy Aikman just openly complaining?
Oh, my God. He was like, how about that game in Dallas? I should be doing that game.
I know.
Like, what the hell does that mean? You don't work in the same company.
Exactly. Like, clearly CBS won the coin toss or something. Like, I don't – because everything's been rejigged now because of the – expansion of the playoffs and because ESPN is now in on the playoff weekend. So right. ESPN paid a fortune so that they could get playoff games and that they could get the Monday Nighter. NBC had the two games. But I guess Fox and CBS battle it out for, you know, Fox only had one game this weekend. CBS had the Saturday night in Buffalo and then they had the game yesterday afternoon.
He was so pissed. He was like, yeah. He's like, you know, there's other games. And then Aikman goes, yeah, there is a game. Cowboys. I should be doing that game. And I was like, God, the stones to say that.
I know.
Wouldn't be a.
You know, some executive was like, I can't believe he just said
Joe
that.
Well, Joe Buck would put on like the gratuitous laugh, but you could tell he was thinking this is a little bit awkward, dude. Like,
yeah, what are you saying, guy? Yeah. What are you saying? That was a great game, though. I mean, that one right down to the bitter end, that Sanford. I thought Jimmy G was about to give that thing up.
He tried.
They tried. They tried. And then Dak was like, hold my beer. And then just randomly pulls a draw play with 8 seconds left in the game. Like, what was that?
But it's not random, Al's brother. That was the play. Like, he didn't waste any time. Like, it was – and the – listen, the sea parted for him. Like, he picked up the yardage. He just needed to drop probably a second or two earlier or find the ref.
Let's hear this Aikman. Let's hear this Aikman clip. I think Kenny's got it.
Yeah,
Kenny,
we got it.
Fire it up.
That game coming up, which is on CBS, which is the Dallas Cowboys hosting the San Francisco 49ers. We saw San Francisco with that overtime win in L.A. last weekend. That's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. I mean, a really good game. I think there's a lot of people that like to be calling that game. But should be a lot of fun.
That is the best.
Yeah, so bitter.
So what he's saying is Fox had an opportunity to grab that game, is what you're telling me, right?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I find it hard to believe. They wouldn't take the 1 o'clock Eagles-Bucks. So no one's avoiding the Dallas game if you get the pick. Like the Cowboys, we mentioned the Cowboys in the least, the comparison. The number one comparison is the ratings that they drive.
Oh, yeah.
There's no bigger
Everybody
draw.
Wants to watch the Cowboys, regardless of how good they are, man.
Yeah, there's no way Fox would turn it down. It just – maybe they lost a coin toss, or this year it went this way, and the next year it goes the other way. I'm not sure. Or CBS has it in his contract that they've got the 4 p.m. game, and maybe they got the pick, and as a result they took that game. I'm not sure. But it's it would lead you to believe that Aikman thought he had a legitimate crack at it, though, right? Like someone – like he did personally get screwed there. But anyway. All right, Al's brother. Well, good luck tonight. You should be on the Cardinals plus three, but instead you're getting an extra point because I'm a nice guy. And you're on
the Cardinals. So we're on the Cards plus four.
You're on the Cardinals plus four tonight.
And the game is in L.A.
Game is in L.A., and I don't know if Arizona travels. You know, like I would, there'll be Cardinals fans there for sure. But I wouldn't expect – I don't think the fans are going to factor into the game at all.
Is it a full stadium? Is it a full stadium?
I would be sure. Based on like COVID protocols.
What did they figure out, Hayes?
Yeah,
because the masks or whatever.
Yeah, the masks.
Yeah, is there a problem there?
No, I think it's a packed barn. As far as I know, it's a full house.
Because about a month ago, there was that report about whether or not they might move the Super Bowl if there seems to be an issue with the COVID concerns. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be a packed barn or not.
I don't think that was about attendance. That was more about masking. And I think that was about the events kind of around the Super Bowl.
Right.
What they can put on. But that seemed to have quieted down. I get the impression like they're moving forward in L.A. So we'll see, Al's brother. You're seeing the board very well. You even threw a bone to the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia. So obviously you'll be a saint down there in the Buffalo Niagara region. And we'll see how it goes tonight. And we'll catch up with you, I'm sure, on the text chain about 5 minutes into the game this evening.
Might be hot tubbing it while I watch it on the iPad, too.
In the snow? Might be happening. A tub in the snow with a ball game?
it's the first big snowfall. I think I got to try it out.
Okay.
I think I got to try it out.
Well, be relaxed and be in the game and keep us posted. Thank you, Al's brother.
All right. Enjoy the game, boys.
You got it. There's our buddy Al's brother. You'll hear him tomorrow on Leafs Lunch with Julia Tuscheri every day at noon right here on TSN Radio. And Team Al Dog are on the Cardinals plus four tonight. That means I'm on the Rams, and I need one tonight.